Good morning, and welcome to Dr. Ng's Sunday Soul Connection. As always, we begin our time together with Nachshlee 7 and Let It Be.
Lord, I pray for this day we've come together, that our hearts and our minds reflect you.
I'd like to applaud you for taking the next 45 minutes or so out of your busy Sunday to just let it be. To join us on these airwaves as we link hearts and minds to deepen in our communion and connection with the ground of our being, God in us as us. And always on the Sunday Soul Connection, we don't take things on face value. We like to look at the deeper metaphysical and esoteric meaning of what we are looking into. And today, as we celebrate Easter and the resurrection, we are going to deep dive into what that means. You see, the metaphysical meaning of Easter is the awakening and the raising up to spiritual consciousness of the I Am in each and every one of us. We are resurrecting and transcending the trespasses and the sins, and we discussed that on Friday, simply as the mistakes, our error judgments that are buried in the tomb of materiality and falsehood. You see, Jesus of Nazareth played an important part in opening the way for each and every one of us to understand that the Father's kingdom was right where we are. It was not low here or low there, but the kingdom of God was within each and every one of us. And whilst Christians like to celebrate his death on the cross, we are not celebrating the death, but his overcoming death. For he spoke it into truth when he said, I am the resurrection and the life. He didn't speak about his death, but that I am the resurrection and the life. He affirmed that he was resurrecting and raising up the whole of man, spirit, soul, and body, into Christ consciousness, into the wholeness of life. He made the connection between the state of consciousness as we were interiorly realizing God in us as us. He made the connection of our at-one-ment. And we talked about this on Good Friday, when we talk about the atonement for our sins. Jesus was teaching our at-one-ment, our reconciliation with the God that is right where we are, in us and as us. And he was ready to pass over and accept everyone. And we spoke on Friday, passing over was to pass over from a lower consciousness to a higher consciousness, from a lower mental way of being to a higher mental way of being. so that we could overcome the thoughts, the beliefs, the sickness, the ideas that hold us down and hold us back and keep us in bondage. For he told us, I have overcome the world. So this resurrecting Easter Sunday, let us come together to restore the mind, the body, the spirit into their original undying state, to realize that God is spirit and that God created each and every one of us in his image and likeness. Therefore, we too are endowed with the same power of God and the same power of Jesus. Do not take this Easter message or the Easter message that has been purported throughout time as one of celebration, just the death, but recognizing that this is something that is playing out within each and every one of us. Our sacred text from Romans says, and if the spirit, of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies because of his spirit who lives in you. Beloved, let this resurrecting Easter Sunday be more than just one of eating Easter eggs, but truly imbibing, embodying, and embracing this message. And we concluded doing our 12 laws of the universe last week, and I wanted to show you how the 12 laws related to the Easter experience. And just to recap briefly, the first law of the universe is oneness. We see that clearly as Jesus as a king showed how, how Jesus showed his oneness with God, and that we are one with God and one with each other. The second law is the law of vibration. He clearly demonstrated that as he vibrated at whatever it was that he was trying to do, whether it was feeding 5,000 or any of the healings. The third law is the law of action, and he put into action what he told and taught. The fourth law is the law of correspondence. You have to spend time in the silence, and we know that he did so that he could bring this higher consciousness to the world. The fifth law is the law of attraction, and he attracted those people that were, as he described, his sheep that knew him. The sixth law is the law of cause and effect. We see how nothing but love and acceptance and kindness and forgiveness went forth from him so that he was able to resurrect. The seventh law, the law of compensation. His compassion and kindness was realized when Joseph of Arimathea took his body and put it in a new grave. The eighth law, the law of transmutation, is the recognition how people can shift their energy, their focus, and how they are. Just look at Palm Sunday to the Good Friday experience. The ninth law is the law of relativity. He knew that he would be tested, and he was in the garden. The tenth law is the law of rhythm, the cycle, and seasons that everyone goes through and he went through too, especially the disciples who went from fishermen to being those that spread the gospel. The 11th law is the law of polarity, where we see the law of opposites. We see Jesus riding into Jerusalem on a donkey and Pilate from the other direction coming in on a horse. The 12th law is the law of gender, and we see clearly Jesus demonstrated the law of both embracing his masculine and his feminine energies. So my beloved, without further ado, let us get into the Easter story. The sacred texts are taken from throughout Matthew and John and Luke. Matthew 21:7. They brought the donkey and the colt and placed their cloaks on them for Jesus to sit on. A very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road, and while others had cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road, the crowds went ahead of him, and those that followed shouted. Now we see clearly this law of oneness. Jesus had emptied himself of ego and was sitting on his animal nature represented by the donkey. We know that he entered into Jerusalem, Jerusalem being the metaphysical meaning, the city of peace. He entered in having conquered his animal nature in peace, knowing all that was before him. We see the law of rhythm as the people cycled through, one from rejoicing and appreciating him, shouting Hosanna, to one where they rejected him, shouting crucify him. We see the law of polarity as Jesus entered in humbly on the colt, to Pilate entering on a war horse from the west. Our second text, Matthew 26:14-26. Then one of the 12, the one called Judas Iscariot, went to the chief priest and asked, what are you willing to give me if I deliver him over to you? So they counted out for him 30 pieces of silver. From then on, Judas watched for an opportunity to hand him over. Here again, we see the law of polarity at work. Jesus epitomizes love and compassion, and Judas greed and self-serving. We also see the law of relativity. Both Judas and Jesus were tested, but Judas failed. And the law of rhythm, as Judas went from following Jesus to now seeking to betray him. Our third verse, Matthew 26:18. He replied, go into the city of a certain man and tell him, the teacher says, my appointed time is near. I'm going to celebrate the Passover with my disciples at your house. Here we see the law of action. Jesus was taking the necessary steps to prepare his disciples for what was about to happen. From washing their feet, to cleansing and purifying them, to sharing the bread and wine, and circulating God's ideas and substance. We spent a lot of time on Friday discussing the necessary reasons for why Jesus had to wash the feet, to purify and cleanse them so their consciousness could expand and accept. Matthew, our fourth verse of Matthew 26:36. Then Jesus went with his disciples to a place called Gethsemane, and he said to them, sit here while I go over there and pray. Here we can see the law of vibration. The disciples were still vibrating at a low frequency, and they were unable to stay awake and pray with him. Also, we see the law of correspondence, how their inner world reflected into the outer world. But just earlier, they had been arguing with one another as to who was the greatest among them. Still, they were egocentric based and focused, so much so that they couldn't stay awake when he asked them to stay and pray with me. Our fifth verse. Going a little further, he fell with his face to the ground and prayed, my Father, if it is possible, may this cup be taken from me, yet not as I will, but as you will. Here we see the law of relativity as Jesus tested, wanting to give up what he knew was about to befall him, but yet ultimately saying, not my will, but yours. Not my little way of wanting to be, but your higher way of what you need me to be. We see the law of gender at play as he balances the doing and the being, the knowledge and the knowing, so that he was able to surrender to his purpose. Our sixth verse. Early in the morning, all the chief priests and the elders of the people made their plans how to have Jesus executed. So they bound him, led him away, and handed him over to Pilate, the governor. Jesus is so grounded in the law of oneness that in spite of the lies, the vitriol, and the torture of the chief priests, he was able to express through the law of correspondence his inner world of peace and acceptance. He was able to maintain his silence throughout all of the accusations, throughout all of the torture. He was so connected to his God that he could be quiet. Our seventh verse, John 19:6. As soon as the chief priests and their officials saw him, they shouted, crucify, crucify. the law of transmutation and polarity is seen clearly of how the energy shifted. They came from Hosanna on Palm Sunday, where they were so grateful and happy for his existence and his presence as he entered into Jerusalem, welcoming him as the King of the Jews, to now that they would rather release the thief Barabbas and shouted out, "Crucify him." They'd forgotten how quickly and how much he had done, sharing with them the truth, feeding them, healing them, all of that forgotten. Our eighth verse, Matthew 27:30-31. They spit on him and took the staff and struck him on the head again and again. After they had mocked him, they took off the robe and put on his own clothes on him. Then they led him away to crucify him. We see here the law of rhythm and the cycle of how people can change, how people can turn. He fed the 5,000. He raised Lazarus from the dead. And how that acceptance and amazement could turn to hatred and wickedness. The two thieves that were crucified with him represented the past and the future. Remember, the one said, "Let me be with you when you are sitting on the throne in heaven." And Jesus says, "Today, you will be with me in paradise." You see, Jesus is the present, the I am. And the I am is always in the present moment. We see him again demonstrating his oneness as he included the thief on his side to be with him, because he knew that each and every one of us of our oneness with God. Our ninth verse. Jesus called out with a loud voice, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." When he had said this, he breathed his last. Here again we see the law of oneness. His belief and acceptance that he came from God and that to God he was returning. This is such a fundamental truth that each of us, if we hold in our hearts, will not fear death. From God we came and to God we will return. His spirit is loaned to us for a brief sojourn on this earth. We see the law of cause and effect. His cause was his belief in the resurrection, that he was the resurrection and the life. And the effect of that belief was so. We see the law of correspondence, the time he spent apart communing with the Father in secret. The Father rewarded him openly by blessing him with the resurrection. Our tenth verse. As evening approached, there came a rich man from Arimathea named Joseph, who had himself become a disciple of Jesus. Going to Pilate, he asked for Jesus' body, and Pilate ordered that it be given to him. Joseph took the body and wrapped it in a clean linen cloth. John 19:40-41. Taking Jesus' body, the two of them wrapped it with spices and strips of linen. This was in accordance with the Jewish burial customs. At the place where Jesus was crucified, there was a garden, and in the garden, a new tomb, in which no one had been laid. Here we see the law of compensation. You get as good as you give. For all that Jesus did, here finally was someone doing something for him. The disciples that had been with him all this time had fled and were scared. And it was Joseph who maybe was being even tested, but did not fear the Pharisees, the Sanhedrin, or even Pilate, that he could actually embrace the law of relativity and go and seek to get Jesus' body. We see the law of attraction. The goodness of Jesus attracted the goodness of Joseph. We see the law of vibration. The vibration that and the frequency that Joseph was operating on was not like the disciples. We've studied the deep and esoteric meanings of each of the disciples. And even Peter, representing faith, or John, love, did not have the courage or the strength to be with Jesus at this time. We've studied in the past how the only people that stood at the cross were the women. It was the women who went to the grave. Let us continue with our 11th verse, the resurrection. On the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the women took the spices they had prepared and went to the tomb. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb, but when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were wondering about this, suddenly, two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. In their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground, but the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He is risen." We see the law of action with the women. As they went to prepare and look after the body of Jesus who had already risen, we see the law of gender balancing action with compassion as Mary, his mother, and Mary, who anointed his feet with oil and wiped them with her hair, and her tears in preparation for this. And it was Mary who was told to go and inform his disciples that he had risen. The law of cause and effect demonstrated clearly by Jesus. If he did not live and demonstrate love and compassion and forgiveness, for remember those were the ultimate words he said on the cross, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." If he hadn't had that love, that compassion and forgiveness, he never would have had resurrection. All of those feelings, emotions would have held him down and kept him nailed to that cross. Forgiveness is the greatest liberator for our own personal resurrection, for our own reconciliation with the I Am of our being, God in us as us. Our final verse 12. So the women hurried away from the tomb, afraid yet filled with joy, and ran to tell his disciples. Suddenly, Jesus met them. "Greetings," he said. They came to him, clasped his feet, and worshipped him. And Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee. There they will see me." Here we see the law of polarity, how the women went from grief and sorrow to suddenly being joyful and jubilant. We can also see the law of transmutation, the shift of energy from death to life. What went on in that tomb as he was buried? I already shared that the law of cause and effect, his ability to forgive, to love, to show compassion, was able to allow the transmutation from death back to life, to resurrection. You see, Jesus demonstrated in these 3 short years of his ministry, over and over, not just through Easter, how the 12 laws of the universe were applicable not just in Holy Week, but throughout. He told us that he was not the exception, that we could do greater works than him. None of us, and no one yet to my awareness or knowledge, has done anything greater than Jesus. But my beloved, if we embrace his teachings, if we embrace his truth, if we embrace his message on this deepest level, always we know he taught in parables so that we didn't just take things on the surface value, that we looked deeper. Let us look deeper into this Easter message, this resurrection experience. Let us truly embrace the laws of the universe as we have shared over these past weeks, so that we too can have our experience, so that we can validate who we are as children and sons and daughters of the Most High God. My poem that I would like to share with you this morning is entitled The Color of Love by Robert Hawkins. Blind is the color of eyes in the crowd. Hollow hosannas are crying out loud. Lining both streets of Jerusalem's street, palm branches waving are placed at his feet. Make way for Jesus, our Savior indeed. Would not a king trade his mule for a steed? Surely he comes now, his kingdom to claim. Else all his wonders and signs are in vain. Such is the color of hope. Dim is the color of lamps burning bright. Shadows are dancing to flickering light. 13 young friends eat their supper alone. One of them speaks, but it cuts to the bone. Words of betrayal are strongly denied. Words of confusion that faces can't hide. What does he mean? We'll be broken like bread. Where is he going and what lies ahead? Such is the color of doubt. Pain is the color that tears into flesh. Metal bits tied to thongs of the lash. Soldiers in jest make him richly adorned, giving a robe and a crown made of thorns. Those who had cheered him a few days before now shout his sentence too loud to ignore, driving long spikes through his hands and his feet, watching him die in the afternoon heat. Such is the color of cruel. Grace is a color that bleeds from his side, there on the cross with his arms open wide, blood, sweat and tears and his eyes sting with pain. Slowly his shoulders grow numb from their strain, gasping for air as the sun burns his face, asking for water if only a trace, born for this moment to breathe his last breath, dying to conquer the power of death. Such is the color of love. My science of mind reading this morning is entitled Resurrection into Light. Behold, I make all things new. Revelation 21:5. Second quote from Ernest Holmes, The Science of Mind. The resurrection is the death of the belief that we are separated from God. For death is to the illusion alone and not to reality. The author writes, Easter, a celebration of life. What a joyous time of year to claim your freedom. Freedom from what, you ask? Freedom from all your doubts and fears. Freedom from your own limiting illusions about who you are and what you are here to do. Freedom from the blocks around your heart that keep you from giving and receiving all the love you've come into physical form to experience. Now is the perfect time to relinquish it all. All the thoughts and beliefs you held about yourself, that you are not good enough or worthy of a great life, can be dissolved in an instant. Behold, I make all things new. How much longer do you want to keep telling the same negative story about your life? How much more time do you want to waste bemoaning your situation instead of experiencing the heaven on earth you came here to experience? In the letting go of all the negativity, a new and glorious life awaits you. You deserve to be happy and filled with joy. When in faith and trust you move into the flow of the divine, it supports and sustains you in ways unimagined. We do not come here in a physical form to suffer. We are here to experience joy, peace, and love. Don't waste another day. The great example has already been set by the greatest teacher of all. It is time to resurrect yourself from the darkness into the light. Happy Easter. So my beloved, if you haven't already, I invite you to close your eyes as we go inside this morning's meditative reflection. As always, I like to remind you of the words of Job, who said, "It is the Spirit of God that has made me. It is the breath of the Almighty that gives me life." So as we take the next 3 deep breaths in, let us be conscious that we are breathing in the breath of life itself. Inhale, lower the diaphragm, extend the stomach, and breathe in the life-giving, energizing breath of God. Slowly. Inhale. Third and final time, inhale. Hold. Gently, slowly, release. Beloved. Each and every one of us are invited to have our own Easter experience. So let us take a moment to remember all the times we felt betrayed, let down, disappointed by how others treated us or failed to treat us. And the times we let ourselves down in thought or word or belief, either about ourselves or another. And let's nail it to the cross. Allow it to be nailed there. And let us practice, as Jesus demonstrated, forgiveness. Let us forgive all of those things, all of those beliefs, those feelings. Without forgiveness and release, Jesus could not have been resurrected. Look at all that he did for the people. Healed them, fed them, showed them who they were in God and who God was in them. He had more than enough reason not to want to forgive. But he knew that without forgiveness, he couldn't resurrect the wholeness of man, reconciling body, soul, and spirit. So the invitation this Easter morning is for you to crucify all that has been holding you down, holding you back. Take a moment to bury in the tomb whatever is your perceived shortcoming, any negative thoughts and beliefs, limitations, erroneous thoughts you've held or believed about yourself or others. Bury them now in the tomb so they can be transmuted to that which the Spirit of God in you knows you to be. Now affirm to yourself, "I turn toward the sun of eternal life. The spiritual sun that cannot set and forever rises on the horizon of my own experience. Definitely and deliberately, I let go of every lost hope, every fear of want, every sense of lack, every hurt. Because today, I leave the tomb of doubt and enter the sanctuary of certainty. I roll away the stone of uncertainty from my consciousness. I find the resurrected, the divine, and God-intended perfection and wholeness. I let go of every belief that I am lost or forlorn, because I know that the doorway from the tomb leads me away from all morbid thought. I am standing forevermore in the glory of an everlasting protection of the One Presence. I let go of all disease and disharmony. They slip back into the tomb of oblivion. For the spiritual body now rises triumphant in every cell. I am instantly renewed by the creative principle of eternal life that is within me. I am alive and aware, and I know that the kingdom of God is here and is within me this moment. Thou art the center and circumference of my life, the beginningless and endless part of me, the eternal reality of me, the everlasting power within me. Thou art my whole being. Take a deep breath in as we enter into our circle of prayer. As always, you're invited to include anything and everyone that's in need of prayer at this time. We know that God is the life force, the energy, the presence, the power that is everywhere present at every point in space and time. There is nowhere where God is not. God, the Alpha and the Omega. Mother, Father, God, Thou who art known by many names, but none can contain the allness that You are. You who are the absolute mystery that resides at the center of our soul, at the center of our being, at the center of us. This Easter morning, as we come before You to resurrect to the I Am of who we are and whose we are, as we come to align ourselves with our at-one-ment with You, the Christ consciousness that is right where we are. We look to the example of our teacher and our way-sharer, Jesus, who who said, I am the resurrection and the life, and that no one cometh to the Father but through me, the Son. Let us understand that what he meant is that we can only know you through the I am consciousness, the Christ awareness that is within us. That we can have our Easter experience to bury anything and everything that no longer serves us, anything that is limited and negative and false. That we can resurrect as we forgive and release and let go. Mother, Father, God, let this Easter experience resonate within our entire being, that we embrace it as we embrace the 12 laws of the universe to truly express as sons and daughters of the Most High God, that we claim our divine inheritance, that we live and express all that you have blessed us with. Mother, Father, God, let this Easter celebration be a time where we truly are at one with you, one with each other, one with all of life. As always, we hold our world and every sentient being within it in our prayers at this time. The two-legged, the four-legged, the winged, the finned, the hoof, all is an expression of your life. All is an expression of your presence, your power, your being. There's so much that is happening across this world at this time. We ask that truly the Easter experience saturates the consciousness, the race consciousness, so irrespective of what religion or creed or doctrine or theology people may follow, that it transcends, that they can see and be and express their oneness, that they can share and express in the world that you have blessed us to caretake, that we can look after one another and seek to meet the needs of those that are less than us. Mother, Father, God, let this Easter experience resonate within the hearts and minds of all humanity so that truly we can bring heaven here on earth. For your infinite grace, your endless blessings, your eternal mercies, we are ever, ever grateful. And so it is. And so it is. And so it is. Take a deep breath in, as we are overrunning, it's Easter. We will skip the movement prayer, and I will unmute the phones, trusting it will unmute, for our Buddhist reflections and affirmations. So let us first repeat our Science of Mind affirmation. I freely release,
I freely release
all negative beliefs,
all negative beliefs
that no longer serve me,
that no longer serve me.
In great joy, I accept and receive my good,
and receive my good.
Our Buddhist reflections, if anyone has hurt or harmed me,
if anyone has hurt or harmed me,
knowingly or unknowingly, in thought, word or deed,
I freely forgive them and I ask forgiveness.
If I have hurt or harmed anyone, in thought, word or deed, may I feel protected and safe.
Contented and at peace.
May my physical body provide me with strength.
May my physical body provide me with strength.
May my life unfold smoothly and with ease.
May my life unfold smoothly and with ease.
May I be happy.
May I be happy.
May I be peaceful.
May I be peaceful.
May I be free.
May I be free.
May my friends be happy.
May my friends be happy.
May they be peaceful.
May they be peaceful.
May they be free.
May they be free.
May those that challenge me be happy.
May those that challenge me be happy.
May they be peaceful.
May they be peaceful.
May they be free.
May they be free.
May all beings be happy.
May all beings be happy.
May they be peaceful.
May they be peaceful.
May they be free.
May they be free.
Our prayer of intention, I am the light of God within and without.
I am the light of God within and without.
Radiating brightly. I am the love of God within and without.
I am the love of God within and without.
Expressing unconditionally. I am the power of God within and without.
I am the power of God within and without.
Manifesting exuberantly. I am the presence of God within and without.
I am the presence of God within and without.
Eternal and unceasingly. Our rumination, our Rumi quote for the week, Rumi says, be certain that in the religion of love, there are no believers and unbelievers. Love embraces all. My closing benediction that I've written specially for today. Mother, Father, God, as we celebrate the resurrection of the risen Christ, let us follow his example as he embraced the 12 laws of the universe and expressed and embodied the oneness he demonstrated. Let us vibrate at the frequency of love and forgiveness so that we can rise out of the tomb of worry, despair, and defeat. Let us have the faith to take the right and necessary action when required. Show us that as we spend time in the silence, we allow our spirit to correspond with yours. Let us express from our higher nature so that nothing but good goes from us and nothing but love is attracted to us. Let us be cognizant of our thoughts and beliefs as cause and effect will always reflect exactly what we've been holding in consciousness. Let us practice kindness and compassion, knowing that the law of compensation rewards accordingly. Let us accept that life is continuously changing and accept the law of transmutation and the law of relativity as it will continually test us. Touch our hearts to remember we'll encounter life cycles through the law of rhythm and that we can experience the swing of the pendulum from good to bad in the law of polarity, and that ultimately we must learn to embrace both the masculine and feminine in all our ways of being. This Easter Sunday, accept our sincerest gratitude and commitment to be a worthy conduit for your spirit to express through as we resurrect our Christ consciousness. My beloveds, as we conclude our Easter celebration and commemoration, my closing song for you is a treat today. It's entitled Risen King by Ollie Knight. Enjoy.
Thank you. Like it's from start to day, no miss out, I'll let you start to joy. Fear had to know, at the grave the heavy stone was rolled away. Thank you. for our luck and victory. We will be renewed. Jesus will return and we'll be raised with him. So take truth. Being that you have mine, you will be soon. You broke the chains of sin and you'll make all things new. All creation joins the song and praise.
I trust you enjoyed it as much as I did. Ollie Knight, Living King. Beloved, whatever you're doing, I trust you have a beautiful and wonderful and blessed Easter. Until next Sunday for Dr. Ing Sunday Soul Connection. Peace and blessings.